And in the last ministration, he talked about hastening the glory of the Lord. And he said that even though the day of that feast has passed, but we should not be slack in battle, so to speak, that we should press in into the individual fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. So let's just pray before we go. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this privilege once again to share your word. I pray for fresh mercy, sufficient grace, Lord. We're able to minister as an oracle of God, able to speak, Lord God, with wisdom, with power to redeem it and not the things that are necessary. As the word goes forth, Lord, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, and the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit to do an eternal work in our hearts, Lord God, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten the revelation of what has gone forth, and also our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as I pray, I also ask that, Lord, you confirm the word with signs following. Lord, we look to you for encouragement. We look to you for strength, Lord God, that Lord will live there better than we came. Thank you for our grace to redeem. Holy Spirit, I yield my faculties unto you. Come and have you. Give me what to say in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message this afternoon is Hastening the Coming of the Lord by Diligently Walking More in the Fear and the Love of God. It seems long, but I'll repeat it again. Say, hastening the coming of the Lord by diligently walking more. Say, walking more in the fear and in the love of God. You see, I'm not going to say anything different. Neither is God, not go, God is not going to change his program because it has been delayed. It is to the degree we walk in the fear of the Lord and the love of God that we will experience this individual fulfillment of a Feast of Tabernacles in our lives. Praise the Lord. So I put in my note, God wants us to hasten, that pastor said, the fulfillment of his feast in our individual lives. You see, when that season passed, some of us might be discouraged. I will not lie to you, I was, because I was expecting great things. You know, having waited for so long. But the Bible says that, though he tarry what? Wait for it. You see, God is not tarrying. The Bible says he's long-suffering, so that many of us can come to that glory. You know, as I continue to understand why, many of us, like myself, I think I'm ready. But some things happen recently or in our lives that we say, you are not already. When you begin to gauge your fear of God and then your love walk, something simple happens and then trips you. So you can imagine if you have that kind of spirit without measure, what you will do. Look at what Elisha did. When he commanded a bear to kill 42 children and cut them short of the things that were written in the book for them. See, God is not going to make that mistake. That's why you see, God has said, as we have been taught, that God will give those in authority to us. Then he will give us a measure, a borrowed anointing of that grace. Praise the Lord. So, God wants us to hasten that coming in us, in this feast. This season is still on. But the day has passed. You see, one thing I want us to see, I'm just trying to give a background so we can understand. God said in the Old Testament, he said that 3 times in a year shall your males appear before me. He said that a feast of Passover, Pentecost, and also Tabernacles. You know, so God is calling us to be diligent in our walk in the Spirit by walking in the fear of God and also in the love of God. Praise the Lord. So like Pastor said, he said that we all should look for and hasten the coming of the Lord. Say, look for and hasten unto the coming of the day of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Well, let's look at it from the NIV Bible to save time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, like Pastor quoted. What does it say? It says, as you look forward to the day of God and what? Speed is coming. Say, speed is coming. See, we can speed that coming. We don't have to wait for the next feast for us to experience the manifestation. I'll explain as I go on. You see, there are some things that God has designed for this season. I will see as I continue. Say, speed is coming. So I'll take the first scripture by using a type and shadow of Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament to explain what I mean. But I want to say, speed is coming. Praise the Lord. Let's know our Bibles, Genesis chapter 18, verses 2 and 6 in the Amplified Bible. Genesis chapter 18, verses 2 and 6. This is when Abraham was sitting in front of his tent in Mamre. And the Bible said that, Lord, let's read together. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And what? Behold. The word behold means look into and see. It's not what? 3 men stood at a little distance. That means they were not yet with him. You know? And he ran. Say, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. That talks about the fear of God. That's reverence. Are you with me? So we see Abraham here. Are you following me? He was sitting in front of his tent. That's why you see, men ought always to pray and not to faint. What would have happened if he wasn't here? The master would have prayed. He speaks about the three persons of God and when they came visiting. But Abraham was sitting right in front. Next verse, let's see what happened. Oh no, let's go to verse 6 to save time. So Abraham did what? Hastened into what? The tent to Sarah and said, quickly get ready. What? 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and bake it. What are we saying, folks? Abraham stood at the tent. The onus is on the father of every house to get the vision. Are you following me? And then when we get the vision, they will go back to the tent like Abraham told Sarah, and the onus of Sarah to put 3 measures of meal and get it ready. You see, this is what has been happening every day when we wake up to join Good Morning Jesus. Bible says, write division, make it plain, so that he that readeth my word, run with it. To explain further, open to Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Lord Jesus Christ quoted the scripture, which is exactly what we see in type and shadow here. When Abraham saw coming afar off, he saw his Bible says that, you know, when he said the bridegroom cometh, he said, go ye forth to go and meet him. You know, we are talking about hastening the coming of the Lord. See, when Abraham saw the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit coming, he didn't sit down and wait. He said he ran to go and meet them. That's how he hastened the time. That is, let me give you an example. Let us say, Pastor Williams wants to give me the microphone, and it will take maybe 5 seconds for him to walk from here to this place. But I can redeem that time if I step down in humility and reduce it to what? 3 seconds. That's what Abraham did. He didn't wait. So when he saw them coming, like the fathers of the house have declared that the bridegroom is coming, and he said, go ye forth to meet him. Are you with me? So immediately he went forth. He did what? He prostrated. Reverence. That thing is lacking a lot in the body of Christ today. And then he ran back inside and quickly told Sarah in the tent, quickly, say quickly, meaning there is no more time. But says, a quick walk will the Lord do, and he will cut it short in righteousness. What was Sarah supposed to do? Add leaven to 3 measures of meal until the whole be leavened. So say, quickly, quickly, Sarah, there's no time, there's no time. They're coming, they're coming. Are you all with me? So let's read Matthew chapter 13, verses 3. It's another parable. Speak unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Leaven here is used as the life of God, not as sin, if you see. Which a woman, who is the woman? Sarah, the church, hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened, spirit, soul, and body. Are you all with me? So you cannot afford not to be inside Abraham and Sarah's tent. There are 3 upper rooms in the Bible. The upper room of Passover, the upper room of Pentecost, and the final upper room when they called John and said, come up hither, and I will show you things that must be. See, surely as Passover was fulfilled in the season of Passover, at a specific day, Jesus Christ died exactly on that day. At Pentecost, you see, God wants to establish us. That's why I'm taking some time. You see, at Pentecost, it was fulfilled 50 days exactly after the day he resurrected. There's one more feast that we are expecting to happen. And it's not going to fail. I'm saying the amount of 2 or 3, let every word be established. So like, there's a day for the corporate fulfillment to take place. That's why we have to wait. I don't want to talk about that. The pastor shared that with us. But see, when we say wait, that does not mean that we should not do something. We should do what happened here. Praise the Lord. Let's continue to read. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, which from verses 13 to 14. Bear in mind, the title of the message is that who hastened the coming of the Lord by diligently walking in the fear and love of God. And we have already seen that in life of Abraham and Sarah. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. What does it say? And it shall come to pass, are you all with me? If she shall, what? Hearken, say hearken, diligently unto what? My commandments, which I command you this day. Say one, to love the Lord your God. To what? Serve him with all your heart. This is some of your heart. All your heart. And with all your soul that I what? Give you. Say give you. Rain in your land in due season. He now goes to explain. He said, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in the what? Thy corn, thy wine, and thy oil. It's a certainty. You can take it to the bank. But he gave us the conditions. He said, if you will hearken diligently unto the commandments of the Lord our God. You see, because when you read types and shadows, I thank God for the Father of the house. They have not only taught us from types and shadows, they tell us exactly. They bring out the New Testament interpretation of what it means. When you begin in substance to all these New Testaments, Old Testament types and shadows, we will know exactly what to do. How about talking about children of sons of Issachar? That they had an understanding of the times and seasons and what Israel ought to do, and also the capacity and the capability to do it. Joel chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Say, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath what? Given you the former rain moderately. And it will cause to come down to you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. That's something he said in Deuteronomy 11 that we read. Let's now read James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Trying to use the scriptures to explain these things for us. They are self-explanatory. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. James began to talk. Why would God say we should be patient? He says, be patient therefore. Say, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Say, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long, say long, patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. Now say, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord bring now. God wants us in this season, before the next feast comes, to establish our hearts. Because if your heart is not established, you see what will happen. Our hearts will be established in Jesus. God wants you to know that you know that you know that the same way that Passover was fulfilled, the same way that Pentecost was fulfilled, so also tabernacles were fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Very important. I'll read a scripture to explain. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. Let's read. To them who by what? Patient continuance in well-doing seek for what? Glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Just Christ said, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. This is a season to continue. You know, it's easy for us to be slack and say, well, it has passed again. Well, we have 11 months to go. So at least I can play around a bit. Then but I can come back after about 6 months. Then we'll see what is... No. We must not do that. You know, we must not do that. Because we are talking about fulfilling it individually. That is why this year was described as the year of the first fruits overcomer vanguard. So when you plant in a field, it is not the same time everything ripening, but the first of the first fruits, are you following me, will come forth first. Thank you, mommy. So God is calling everybody to be part of the first of the first fruits overcomer vanguard. That's what we're talking about here. Are you all with me? Let me quote one scripture before I begin to explain. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Because I want to keep in our minds the fear of God and love God. They will play key things in what God is doing. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. And what did God say? He said, and now Israel, talking to the church, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But what? One, to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to love him. And then to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. It is now order. Fear God first. Love God next. And then you can now serve God. You see, the degree to which you fear God is determined by the degree to which you obey his commandments and love him. It's very important. It's when God appeared to them in Exodus, I can't remember, it's 20:20. I can't remember. The Bible said when he came down, everybody ran away. Then Moses told them, he said, this is the thing that Lord said he would do. That when they saw the glory, he said that you might learn to fear God. The glory, you see, we need to begin to reverence God. It's don't wait for the glory to come before you try to reverence him. You'll be too late. Go and ask from Nadab and Abihu. You can see why God is delaying this thing. You can see why God, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. In the book of Hebrews, how do you serve God? Paul said that, I thank my God whom I serve with my spirit, praying always for you. But how do you pray always for God? Hebrews chapter 12 says this. It says, therefore, having grace, whereby you may serve God acceptably with fear and godly reverence. For God is consuming fire. So it has to do with the way you pray. We are not talking about praying now and then you are chewing gum. No. That's irreverence. So that's some of the things that God is going to correct. And it's been getting on my own case. Recently, he told me something, you know, he brought to my memory after Pastor shared what he shared. And I was coming to church. And then reminded me of when I just got born again. I didn't know anybody. Nobody knew me. And going for 1 hour before, I will pick race from Song Go there, that car park, and run to church for 1 hour before. What happened? What happened? You reverence the things of the spirit that has to return. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. So two things that we see there. The commandment. Say the commandment and also the fear of God. So that commandment, as you all know, is the love of God. John chapter 13 verse 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. Romans 13, 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is what? The fulfilling of the law. We must perfect that love. The second thing is we are to serve God. We in our spirits in prayer. I already quoted Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was heard in that he feared. He had a reverential attitude towards the things of God. The Bible says he will fall on his face. You see that in Gethsemane. You know why? He knew that if he made a mistake, God would not spare him. Yes, so if he had sinned, there was no blood to wash his sin. So he walked circumspectly every day. We'll get to Noah, because we're in the time of Noah. The Bible says, Noah moved with what? Fear. What did he do? The fear of Lord is the instruction of wisdom. He obeyed the instruction to the letter. God said, 300 cubits, 30 height, and then I think 500. He obeyed it to the letter. Because if he had made it 31, or the ark would have leaked. He said, he moved with fear to the saving of his household. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. One more scripture on this fear of God. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 24. Because it has to do with the outpouring of the former and the latter rain, like we read in Deuteronomy. What does it say? Neither say they in their hearts, let us now do what? Fear the Lord our God. That what? Giveth rain. Both the former and the latter in a season. He reserved unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. So you see that the fear of God is critical in experiencing the outpouring of the former and the latter rain. The fear of God and the love of God. Praise the Lord. Now let's begin to look at it. We are talking about the first of the first fruit overcomer vanguard. And God wants us to press in. Say pressing. He wants us to press in before the next feast comes. So like I was mentioning, God, I believe God spoke to me. He says, say not ye therefore, there are yet 11 months, then come the harvest. Don't say in your heart that, well, we can wait till October next year. How about Jesus Christ told them? If you read in John chapter 4, verse 35, the disciples were saying, well, let's wait. Well, it's not yet time for harvest. No, no. We are talking about the first of the first fruit overcoming, and I will press within the veil. So he told them, that's what we are saying. And I said, you know what he said? You know, let me give you a background often. It was at the well of Samaria. And he sat down. And a woman came to him, a Samaritan. And as at that time, he was not sent to Samaritans. Are you with me? So he wasn't supposed to have spoken to that woman. But he saw that the fields were white for harvest. I follow him. You know, he said in one place, he said, I'm sent to lordship of the house of Israel. That is, the time has not come. But you see what I'm talking, we can begin to taste of the powers of the age to come. So he started ministering to that woman. When disciples came, they were wondering, he's speaking to a Samaritan. At the end of the day, he not quoted the scripture because they were with, after he dies, then the gospel to Gentiles. He not said no. He said, say not ye therefore, yet 4 months, and there cometh harvest. Say, behold, and I see, behold means look into and see. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. What I was saying, don't wait till the next feast to press in. If you wait, you are going to be slack. But there is nothing motivating you. And God wants us to press in. Praise the Lord. So like Pastor shared that day, said we all should be experiencing things individually. He mentioned 3 things. He said the first thing that we should be experiencing the said tangible presence of God in our daily prayer life. Are you following me? And said the next thing that is ahead of us now is the manifest presence of God. It's about the individual aspect. Then the next feast will now experience the visible manifestation of the glory of God. I see the glory cloud at that feast. Are you all following my thinking? So let's read the tangible presence of God in our daily prayer. So that's why every time you pray, you join good morning Jesus. There's a scripture I always quote. After I leave, I say, I shall go forth with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into singing. That is, the problems, the mountains, they break forth into singing. And the trees of the fields, they will clear up their hands. That's favor. Tree speaks about men in the Bible. So I'll quote Psalm 16 verse 11. So we need to be enjoying daily the tangible presence of God. Psalm 16 verse 11. And thou, what? Will show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. At thy right hand is there pleasures forevermore. Every one of us should be experiencing this now. I don't get it every day, but there are days that I get it. You know, initially when we got to pray, mom would say, God woke me up with a song. I said, me, I didn't sing any song. But you see, occasionally God would just say, this thing is true. This thing is true. I'll just wake up and a song will just rise up. It's not a song that I didn't go and check any in book. Maybe it's a song that I've not even thought of for a long time. The song will just rise up and I'll begin to sing. And as I'm getting up, I'm singing the song. I'm singing, that is true. The Bible says it's the Lord that giveth a song in the night. We should be experiencing it. We may not be perfect yet, but the more you walk with God in the fear, you know what happens? The lover of our soul is always waiting for us, like you see in the songs of Solomon. Are you following me? So that's how you know God is with you. Not based on the world conditions. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So you go out that day full of joy. I follow me. There might be problems, difficulties around you, but there's something that is bubbling inside you. I follow me. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, which is the place of prayer, are pleasures forevermore. So the next that is in front of us, which Pastor shared is this, say the manifest presence of God. And God wants us to experience that also individually. It's available. Let me give you a scripture to see what I'm saying. John chapter 14, verse 21. Lord Jesus Christ said something. He said, he that hath my commandments, we're talking about, and keepeth them, he it is that, say he. He's talking about that individual. Not about a corporate body. Say he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will what? Manifest myself to him. To him. Personal. Individual. To become experienced. That's what is in front of us. That manifestation of Christ. So you don't have to tie your individual manifestation to a feast day. That's a corporate thing. This is what is going to keep you running to the feast day. And not to be distracted. Bible says that Jesus Christ at Cana of Galilee. He said, this is the beginning of miracles. And he what? Manifested forth his glory. And the disciples believed on him. The final one is what we have to wait for. It's the corporate manifestation of God's presence. I'll just quote it because of time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, wherefore all the men of Israel assembled unto the king in the feast, which is what? On the 7th month, which is the feast of tabernacles. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one. to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpet and cymbals and stringed instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. And the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord has filled. That is going to happen on a feast day. But you can partake of this individually as you manifest, as Pastor has shared with us. Those are three things that God will have me to share basically on that as I continue. So now, chapter 9 says, he said, in the day that Moses reared up this tabernacle, what happened? The glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, this is where I want us to take it to ourselves. Like I said, don't say it is yet another 11 months for another feast to come. So then you just begin to yo-yo. Or like Pastor William said, you want to jackpot. You know, a lot of people are running away from this country today. Are you following me? People are running away under different guises and excuses. You see, when I began to meditate on the word, I was just along the side. You see, Satan, it's not everybody. Some people will go. But you see, the word jackpot is run away to escape. There are seven famines were recorded in the Old Testament. And each time, there will always be a famine in the promised land. People will always run out. Even Abraham, there was a famine. That's why he went into Egypt. And he came back with Hagar. Now, when Isaac was going to go, God said, don't go. You are a child of promise. Don't go anywhere. Stay where God planted you. You see, there's something that God is sharing with me. I'm trying to stick with my notes. The Bible says that, Pastor Kunle, I think he quoted it. He said, if any man will do his will, then shall he know. Are you following me? But if you're not willing to do, you will not know. The Bible now goes to say somewhere in Luke. He said, he that knew to do his master's will and did it not, shall be beaten with what? Many stripes. It's many of folks. God told me, said that stripes is not only here in this lifetime, also in eternity. You see, you can't say I don't know. That causes willful ignorance. He said that he that did not know to do his master's will shall be beaten with few stripes. So let me speak Yoruba. Ofe oko ajegba. If you say I don't know, God wants you to know. But if you say I don't know, you'll beaten with few stripes. That stripes is not just here. Is also there. I'll continue. That's what happened. We're talking about famine, right? There was a famine in the land of Judah. Then, what's his name? Ahimelech took Naomi and his two sons, and they went to Moab. On what jackpa? Folks, don't jackpa. Don't jackpa from the upper room. Don't jackpa from the upper room. If you look at that story, the Bible says, we'll get there. Let me just mention, it's coming to me. You see, what happened was that Sarah told Abraham, he said, there was a delay. There wasn't be a delay or a famine. He said, seeing that I'm going childless, Abraham, he said, maybe you should go to this man, Hagar. But you know, if he did not jackpot, there will not be any Hagar. So Hagar was waiting there. Are you following me? Because that is what he brought back from Egypt. And you see a generational problem, life of Isaac. Because Rebecca too was barren. So it wanted to. Yeah, so God now saw that, look, Satan is pushing you guys again. And he said, Isaac, don't go anywhere. So in that land, in the same year, you report 100-fold. So you know what happened? They went. And the Bible says that, if you go and read that story of Abraham, the Bible says that Abraham has sojourned in that land of Canaan for 10 years. You know what happened? After he went to Hagar, it cost him another 15 years, making 25 to get Isaac. Of you see reverse. Same with Elimelech. They were in the land of Moab. Go and read. They were there for 10 years. 10 speaks of commandments to perfect the love of God. After 10 years, Elimelech died. Malon died, Chilion died, and Ruth was left alone. 7 famines in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Go and count it. The only one that God permitted them was doing the famine that was all over the world. And he said, okay, go into Egypt. After a time, he said, we must not go back there again. There will always be a famine. A famine could be the problem we are facing in Nigeria. Things that will make people afraid. Banditry, this one, that one. Economic, this, whatever. That does not mean you pack your load and go. Some went, they came back with Hagar. Some didn't come back at all. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So, let me keep reading. I said, Satan cannot abort the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. That is the corporate one. It's going to happen. You can take it to the bank. Just as Passover occurred, just as Pentecost occurred, 50 days, it is going to be fulfilled on the feast day. In that season, anytime next year, between September, October, it's going to happen. The first one happened exactly. The second one happened exactly. So the third one must happen exactly. Are you following me? So the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, is a tree of life. What is that desire? The desire of all nations. God wants to make you a tree of life. Life in your spirit, soul, and body. So why? I said we must avoid. I put down some pitfalls we must avoid. I've mentioned some of them. Number one is unbelief. Say unbelief. Now say in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9, it says, so we see they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. A refusal to believe, which is also the same as disobedience. Now let's look at Israel. You see, God does not mean what when he says, if there is a delay, it's not with God, it's with us. When God says go to do something, that's why your Jesus Christ is the perfect example. He fulfilled it to the T. He was never late. They can compare the church in the wilderness. They were supposed to be 400 years in Egypt, but they spent 430. Pastor Kole was saying something. We don't have 40 years. We don't have 40 years to waste. That's why when Moses made a mistake, God said, no. I don't have another 40 years. Moses, you're not going. Bible says, redeem me the time because the days are evil. Now let's look at this thing. Israel, Numbers chapter 13, verse 20. I discovered that, you see, when you look at Israel, God had planned the thing that there should be a perfect type and shadow to fulfill. You see, when they came out of Egypt, he said, this shall be the beginning of months for you. They ate the Passover. 50 days later, at Mount Sinai, Lord came down. They did Pentecost. Now, read what was Numbers saying. See what happened. They got to Kadesh Barnea at the beginning of Tabernacles. So there are three fruits, there are three harvest seasons in Israel. The barley harvest, wheat harvest, and then the fruit harvest. That's what about Tabernacles is about, the in-garden of fruit. Basically, for us, the in-garden of fruit of the Spirit. So Israel, they got to this place. And Moses called the 12. And said, yeah, go and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of what? Good courage. And bring what? Of the fruit of the land. What do we celebrate in Tabernacles? Fruit. And she says, now. Say now. Now. The time was the time of the first ripe grapes. God had planned it. That they will enter as a type of the church of Lord Jesus Christ into that. You know, I said they went there. And they came back. They said they caught, they bought it at the valley of Eshcol. And they carried the fruits of the land. You see, in natural Israel, if you go and check, these grapes, these are the first of the first fruits. They ripen just after Pentecost. Very early, between August and September. So God was giving them a chance to be part of the first of the first fruits, which is what I believe has happened to the body of Christ, generally speaking. People have gone ahead, they have seen the land, they have come back and said, this promised land we're talking about is not a physical land now. About the perfection and the fullness of God. I said, look, this thing is possible. So Joshua and Caleb came back and said, look, let's go ahead at once. Then the whole of Israel, like the church, rebelled over 40 years ago. And this message started coming forth. That is what has kept some of us in the wilderness. But I can tell you now, that wilderness experience is about to end. Are you following me? So, but by the time they were going to enter, they could not fulfill this perfect type again. They entered during the Feast of Weeks. You go and read when Joshua led them in. But that was not God's perfect plan for them. Are you all with me? So let's keep on reading. So we already talked about Abraham. You see, I recently, God will encourage me. I said, God, I'm getting old. God, let this thing happen. So at least I can spend more years, you know, to manifest the glory. You know, because each year, you know, there are passages like that. And then God encouraged me. I want to encourage you also. He spoke to me from Psalm 71, verse 18. When the psalmist was praying, saying, now also, when I am old and gray-headed, he says, forsake me not. Are you there? He says, oh God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and the power unto that which is to come. That's what he did for Joshua and Caleb. He said, thou will comfort me on every side and will increase my greatness. We need to show that glory. We are the types of Joshua and Caleb. And the young ones that are behind are the types of young ones that their parents said they will not enter. I follow him. So we need to know where we are. The next thing I want to mention here is this. Take discouragement. You must not be discouraged. Satan is very bad. That's why you cannot, there's nothing like passive waiting. It's active. So don't say it is next year. No, you have to press in. So you can bring discouragement. Like 1 Samuel chapter 27 verse 1, David. David had a promise to be king. But Saul kept on chasing him. And he now said something. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape onto the land of the Philistines. He was discouraged. You see, I believe he should not have gone to that land because it was just the mercy of God. So many of us, we do things and God will show us mercy. We don't know he's showing us mercy. You know, it was in the land of Philistines that he gave him Ziklag. And he went to go and fight a battle that God did not call him to. Best not going for primaries, God did not call you to. By the time he came back, they had taken his wife at Ziklag and everything. It was the mercy of God that saved him. It was God's mercy. He now began to cry. God said, look, this is not a matter of crying. Put on the... He started praying the prayer he shouldn't pray. Put on the linen effort. I said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. But if he had stayed there, in spite of the persecution of Saul and affliction, he would not have gone through that unnecessary route. Very important for us to know. Now, the next thing I have is this. Spiritual slothfulness. Say, spiritual slothfulness. These are the things that Satan will try and do. And God is showing us up front. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15. Says, slothfulness casteth into what? A deep sleep. And an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Matthew 25, verse 5. Say, why did the bridegroom come? What happened? They all tarried and they all slept. Don't sleep. If you are lazy spiritually in this day, you will sleep spiritually. Mommy almost quotes the scripture in Romans chapter 13. Say, know the time, the night is high time to what? Awake out of sleep and slumber. The Bible talks about awaking out of sleep. It's when you are sleeping, let me make it very simple. It's when you are walking in the flesh. That's what it means. When you are walking in the flesh, you are sleeping spiritually. Because a plant that is sleeping, his eyes are shut and he cannot see. So when you're walking in the flesh, Bible says, he that hated his brother is in darkness. Darkness hath blinded his eye. Say, but he that loved his brother has no occasion of what? Stumbling in him. So when you are asleep, that's what he said. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the old armor of light. He said that you put on, you know, old armor of light. I can't quote it off it. He says that not spend time in chambering and wantonness. They put on Lord Jesus Christ. I make no provision for the flesh. So when you are sleeping, is when you are walking in the flesh. Are you all with me? Very important. The other thing I put here is distraction and activity. Say distraction and activity. Let nothing take you away from the upper room. Don't. Satan will try everything to move you out. But pastor said, 500, he appeared to 500. Only 120 were there when that day came. Only 120. You see, God did not say, this one will not be there, this one will be there. Are you following me? But at the end of the day, some people said, I've married a wife. I've got 5 yoke of oxen. You know, let me go and try them. That's another talk, I can't remember. I bought a new land. So they left the upper room. The upper room we are talking about is the upper room of prayer, where we gather to pray on the cyber upper. You see, in those days, it could be a physical location. Are you following me? Just like in the days of Jesus Christ was one person. But now it's now a spiritual body that is spread all over the world. That's why it's a heart thing. Don't allow anything to take you away from your upper room. If you allow it, it's a distraction of Satan. Are you all with me? 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. Let's look at the life of Saul. And he tarried 7 days. And he tarried 7 days. According to the set time that Samuel had appointed. Timer here is the type of Christ. Because Jesus Christ's words never fell to the ground. So he said, as he did appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring me Ithar, a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered up the burnt offering. And it came to pass, that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, say, behold, Samuel came. Pastor Kule was sharing it earlier on. He said, it's not a day to go into ministry that God has not sent you. You know what Samuel told him? He said, why did you do this? He said, you have done foolishly. He said, why didn't you wait? Why didn't you just wait? Is God not big enough to fulfill his word? And Samuel said, in verse 13, says, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would he, the Lord, have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Just because you didn't wait. Folks, don't do what God has not told you to do. What he has told us is disobedience. What he has told us to do is very simple. He said, what does the Lord command you, Israel? They choose the fear of God, keep his commandments, and serve the Lord. Simple. And that you do when you join Good Morning Jesus every day. That's how you practice. That's what God expects you to do. Praise the Lord. Then the other example I have here is about Simon Peter. It's not a time to go fishing. Simon Peter said unto them, John chapter 21 verse 3. You see, this was after Christ appeared to them. You know, John said, this is the third time he appeared to them. So that means he appeared to them the first time. He appeared to them the second time. This is the mercy of God in operation. It's the mercy of God. This is before they went to the upper room. So he said, this is the third time. All of a sudden, and what I want you to see is that I'm talking about how Satan works in the minds of people. Who put it in Peter's mind to go out fishing? Simon Peter said unto them, I go out fishing. That could mean anything. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Oh, I remember the prodigal son who took his inheritance prematurely. The Bible says that nobody gave to him until he began to eat what swine ate. God used this to wake them up. Then they caught nothing. Then in his love and his kindness, he came and he said, children, have you any fish? It is children that don't have an understanding of times and seasons that Japa, spiritually speaking. Because they don't understand. They don't understand the times and the seasons, and they don't know what Israel ought to do. So their flesh moves them. They go and pick a job God has not told them to pick. They will live somewhere. They go and marry somewhere and leave the place where God planted them. It could be anything. Please, I'm not saying you cannot leave. Of course, we have people that are abroad. But what I'm saying is this. Do not let anything take you away from that upper room of prayer. Are you following me? So you can see how Satan moved in Peter's mind to distract him. Put him in mind, go and fish now. Nothing is going to happen again. The bills you did the next 11 months, excuse me. So why are you wasting time? Say no. Well, anyway, God had mercy on them and they went back to the upper room and they experienced the glory. So God is reaching out to everybody again, saying, if you go on a fishing, you can still come back, especially if you have caught nothing. Praise the Lord. It's an indication that this thing is not working. You know? So you can quickly just come back. You know, are you to just dust yourself and then I'm with you. Well, I just went on a brief holiday. I'm back. No, I didn't leave. Praise the Lord. The second reason I have here is that our hands must not be slack in battle. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, in that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. For Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save thee, will rejoice over thee with joy, and will rest in his love. He will also joy over thee with singing. I quoted that scripture earlier. I said, dude, they said, do not, the Lord's slackness is so that people can make it to paraphrase. Saying God seems to tarry. He's not tarrying. You see, this is how God spoke to me after that feast passed. I started wondering. I said, ah. Then he now gave me a scripture. He said, we told not good from them to whom it is due, when it's in your power of your hand to do it. So he now said, if I tell you not to withhold good from them to whom it is due, when the power of your hand to do it, will I withhold from you the good of a spirit without measure? I said, Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing those that are oppressed of the devil. So he said, it's not, I'm not withholding it when it's in my power. It's because you are not ready. Did you get those scriptures? So God is not, he's not delaying it. He's giving us more room to perfect the love, to walk in the fear of God. So that by the time we enter the next season, you'll have perfected that love. It will slap you and you'll smile and say, God bless you. Are you following me? Just give an example. Nobody will slap you in Jesus' name. When people will say, if it's the cousin of slapping me, I won't do it again. We will all do it in Jesus' name. Don't worry. The Lord will have mercy on us. The third point I have is this. God wants to restore the years that the locust and the cacao has eaten. That is very important to God. In our lives, in our nation, and the nations of the world. He wants to restore. He has to restore. All these locusts, can't count on caterpillar politicians that we have. I won't say more than that. Yes. Yes, that's what they are doing. Can't come home, just eating the wealth of a nation. When you look at Nigeria, it looks impossible right now for us to gain ground. But Bible says that, Lord, we are the one that will rebuild the whole waste places. This will be the foundation of many generations. That's our destiny. When that spirit, that measure comes, what we seem to have lost. When you read the news at times, they pipe the oil. I'm saying there's a pipe. I don't want to, were they sleeping when they put the pipe there? You hear that this one stole this one took this one took this one, and this one did that one. God will restore the years. The locust has eaten the cacao and caterpillar and the palm worm. Say individually, he did for Abraham and Sarah. 25 years, it looked impossible. But says that Abraham considered that as his own body that was dead. You see, he woke up to reality. He saw that Agar was not the wife. And that Ishmael was not the child of promise. So he woke up. It was after that he made those three measures of meal. He said that he considered his own body that was dead. So he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So God restored the years. He gave him just Isaac. That Isaac to us may be a personal promise. But as you have been taught, is it the manifestation of a life of God? Is the promise of that life that we made manifest in our mortal flesh? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Are you all with me? It could also be a personal thing that seems to be dead. Like Ezekiel said, ah, can these bones live? He said, prophesy. Then in a nation, Nigeria, he's going to do it too. They will do what he has said. See, what excites me is when we gather to pray in the morning. You know, it's something that should give you joy. When you hear a declaration made and see the thing come to pass. So suddenly they are disoriented. And that guy comes out the next day and begins to say rubbish. You know the one that baffled me the most? I can never forget it. Months ago, I think it was last year, when we began to pray, he said the spirit of leprosy of Naaman will come. Then the next thing, those are doctors, know what they did? They went to the leper colony to go and carry people. I don't know how to say it in English, but you know, it's like, be a sassy. You know what I'm saying? Have you said something to these people? They will declare something, you know, and then the next day you go out. And then you say, okay, the grain deal has been restored. That's what keeps us running, you know. That's what keeps us running, you know. Those are the landmarks you see that God is with you. And following me, that is based on the path of the age to come. If you don't partake of that one, you cannot partake of the other one. Because it's those that are in the upper room that partake of the first one. Are you following me? So be part of it. Say be part of it. I'm part of it. And I will not go to sleep. It's very important. Now, the last scripture I will quote is, I've already mentioned, let me quote it. Joel chapter 2, verse 23. I will restore to you the years that look on that come as eating. Now, how? Say how. How are we going to get this done? One, by daily choosing the fear of God, which is honesty and humility of heart. Pastor defined the fear of God as this. This is the awesome reverence for God, based on the evidence of his awesome wisdom and power seen in creation. Also, Father said, it is the certainty, say the certainty of his mercies when we obey. Shown in the degree to which you obey or disobey his instructions. That is when you obey. It is certainty of his mercy. When you disobey, it is certainty of his judgment. You see, many people don't understand when God passes judgment on people. No, maybe the person will die. No, he doesn't have to die. When he said, none of you guys are entered the promised land. 40 years, they were still going around, enjoying life, but did not fulfill purpose and destiny. As far as God is concerned, at that very particular day, God has already removed them from the things written in this book. That we need to be careful. Just a thought. Just remember not to take time. Papa Egin was sharing, I was reading a book or listening to one recently. He said, I was one man that just Christ appeared to him. And I've been preaching and preaching and preaching, and the guy won't listen. He said, just Christ told him, look, don't preach to him again. That he's going to hell. But the guy didn't die the next day. That guy kept on walking around. Because he's already set. He said, he's already set. You see, what am I saying? The things we do matter. The day that Esau took that muzzle of bread, that was the day that he aborted his destiny. Firstborn right, he lost it. He said he started with tears, but could not get it. If it had been only him alone, it would have been good. But he put his generation in reverse gear. I said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. God will have mercy on us. So, Proverbs 15, verse 33, I quote it like, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So, Pastor said, we are in the days of Noah. Say, we are in the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? People are marrying and getting married. All kinds of things were happening. So to speak, different distractions from going to the upper room. But in that same season, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, I quote it like, just to buttress, but say, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen. Have you seen the glory yet? No. As yet moved what with fear. Prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews 12, 28 says that, you see, Noah was moved. You see, when you go into the prayer room, it's an attitude of reverence. Don't just saunter in. Don't just, if not for the sanctification of the altar, what would have happened to many people? Just saunter in. Then you saunter out again. But that's what covering does. To whosoever sins to remit, they are remitted unto them. Are you following me? That's why we sanctify the altar. In as testable to Satan and his cohorts. Satan comes not physically, but by when we commit sins and we come to pray, I have not confessed and forsaken them. So somebody has to stand in the gap like Aaron and cleanse everybody. Because you are fighting with demons. I'm not trying to make you afraid. Principalities and powers. Bible says, prophesy to the king of Cyrus. They later on talked about the prince of Cyrus. There's one dodo, so to speak, that's behind that guy in Russia. So you are coming to pray every morning. And I speak to against the king of Cyrus. I say, fall like lightning. Let me leave you so we are not afraid. Do we not come and join tomorrow? But what I'm saying is this: we are praying. We are, you know, if you go and read that in Ezekiel, he says, son of man, say, speak to the king of Cyrus. It was the king of Cyrus, who is Satan, that was controlling Tyros, that was controlling the prince of Tyros. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, though, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in the heavenly places. It's strong tower. Yes, thank you, Mommy. Because that's what covers us. Yes, and it's safe. That's why We plead the blood. We cleanse. Yes. Please don't be afraid. There is covering. Amen. There is covering. The fact that we are here is covering, right or wrong. So don't. I don't want to speak too much. The Bible says that I cannot fight, but he has one sinner but that I can fight. So hide under covering. Are you following me? So you too, you can speak to the calm down. You Lucifer, son of the morning. Nothing will happen to you. Has anything happened to anybody yet? No. Praise the Lord. Yeah. God delights to use the weakness of this world to confound the wise. Yes. I'll stop now. So it says in Hebrews 12 verse 20, it says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God. Say acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So we do this by using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect God's law. And we pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. I'll close with this. This is what Elijah did. It was Elijah, it was James, who was talking about being patient unto the coming of the Lord, until he gives you the former rain and the latter rain. How are we going to get the former rain and the latter rain? He says it in the same book of James, chapter 5, verse 16. He says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth more. Talking about Elijah, he said, in a man of like passions. Say, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. I was saying, ask ye of the Lord in the time or the season of latter rain, and I will make by clouds and give them showers of rain upon every one grass in the field. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for covering. Let's stand to our feet. Do you belong all power, Jesus? Help me to sing that song.
Whenever we call your name, you make a way. Your name is a strong tower, Jesus. Your name is a strong tower, Jesus.
To you belong,
to you belong
all power,
Jesus.
Whenever we call,
whenever we call your name, you make a way.
When we pray in the name of Jesus, oh yes, every knee must bow. When we pray in the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Your name is a strong tower.
To you belong,
all power.
Jesus.
Whenever we call,
whenever we call
you make a way.
Make a way. Your name is a strong tower, Jesus.
Let's lift our hands as we pray. Say, Lord, please have mercy on us, and so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me, Lord, to diligently use the blood, the word, and the spirit to hasten your coming by running into that name, even your name that is love, that strong tower. Lord God, I continue to receive mercy and grace to daily choose the fear of God, to daily perfect your love in my life by walking in unity until your glory is made manifest in me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. Father, we thank you. Rabba Sunto, Lord, just thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Rabba Sumbrema, Rabba Kutoba Kutoba Kutoba. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we close, if you are here and you are in need of healing, I would say the sent his word and heal them and deliver them from their destructions. Just reach out to God now. The power of God is present to heal. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those hands that are raised up. Lord God, those that are watching life right now, watching later, but I will send that healing word, Lord God, to deliver them from every destruction in the devil. Thank you, Father, because you will heal them of their infirmities. You took our infirmities. You bore our sickness. By His stripes, we are healed. What's coming? Every spirit of distraction, every spirit of worry, of anxiety that is attacking our mind, we break that power and we receive peace of mind. Say, peace be still. To every raging storm in our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.